In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel reading from St. Luke, which I've just read, where Jesus said these words. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Jesus was a teacher. He preached and he taught. Now, these two words, preaching and teaching, are often used interchangeably in the Bible. Some might say that preaching is to touch the heart and the emotion, while teaching is to instruct the mind. But with Jesus, the preaching was also instructive. His sermons were doctrinal. It was by means of this heavenly doctrine that he taught his disciples, and he drew them to himself. And his disciples were then to go out, bring that doctrine into the world, and draw more men to Christ, and so on down to today. While not every Christian is called to preach publicly, every Christian is called to teach something about the faith that is in him. It is always by means of divine doctrine that souls are led to embrace the message of Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Today, we see Jesus in action as he's with these crowds, preaching to them from the boat. In this way, many people could listen all at the same time. The acoustics sort of echoed his voice out so the whole crowd could hear him. They listened, he taught, and they kept listening because he preached with authority. Authority unlike that they had ever heard before. Now Jesus was not a fisherman by trade. He was a carpenter. Peter, the guy in the boat, he was the fisherman. He knew that there were no fish where Jesus told him to let down his net. And although this was a bit of an unreasonable command from an inexperienced fisherman, Peter said that he would do it. He said, "At your word, I will let down the net." What happened next is an exceptional miracle. They caught so many fish that the nets began to break, and they filled two boats to the point that they began to sink. This was a miracle, and no one who witnessed it failed to see what had just happened. Jesus showed himself to be very God of very God. The miracle of this sign showed his divine power over nature. Only God can control the forces of nature, and this, if anything, was a very convincing display. Even Peter recognized it, standing right there next to Jesus. But notice, he did not rejoice. He fell down in terror at Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When this sinful man, when this Peter, realized that he was in the presence of Holy God, he fell down in terror. But this miracle signified more than the true divinity of Jesus. It also signified that when it comes to carrying out the mission of the church, we today are to follow Christ's instructions to the letter. It was after following Jesus' instructions that the disciples caught more fish than their boats could carry. And this illustrated for them that if they wanted to catch men, that is, if they wanted to lead men, women, and children to faith in Jesus Christ and to keep them in that one true faith, they would have to follow Christ's instructions no matter how unreasonable or impractical they might seem. So what are these instructions? What is Jesus' mission for the church today? Well, after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, again showing his authority not just over nature, but even over death itself, he gave these instructions to his disciples. These instructions cannot be understood apart from what Jesus had just done. They cannot be understood apart from the fact that Jesus had just gone to the cross in order to gain eternal life for all people. There on the cross, he suffered for the sins of the whole world. By dying the death that we deserve, he gained eternal life for all. He overcame death and the grave by dying and rising again from the dead on the third day. He conquered sin with his righteousness, and he crushed the old evil foe's head. This is what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. It was the crucified and risen Lord Jesus who then appeared to his disciples with the instructions on how exactly they would then become fishers of men. And we have accounts in all four Gospels of these instructions. So let's take a look at them. St. Matthew writes in the last chapter of his Gospel account, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" St. Mark writes in the last chapter of his Gospel account, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" St. Luke writes in the last chapter of his gospel account, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.'" And finally, St. John writes in the 20th chapter of his gospel, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so also I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" So what are Jesus' instructions? We are to teach what he taught. We are to preach the gospel to the whole world. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are to forgive the sins of the penitent, but to withhold forgiveness from those who refuse to repent. And we are to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. So we must hold on tight to everything that Jesus taught, no matter how unreasonable or impractical it may seem today. First, Jesus wins eternal life for us. And then through these things, Jesus gives eternal life to us as a gift. The teaching of the church is centered on what Christ has done for us. By the teaching of the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners, the church brings Christ to sinners who are in need of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The mission, then, of the Christian church is to teach. It is by means of Christ's teaching that all people will become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we know, some people just won't be taught. Many in our era think that the Christian church is irrelevant, Even many Christians are rather doctrinally illiterate, and with ignorance comes apathy. Folks are indifferent to the truth because they just don't know it. They're not familiar with the message. And people don't care about what they don't know. So then the church becomes caught up in this, tossed to and fro, this way and that, by every new wind of doctrine that comes along. Children aren't grounded in the truth of God's word, and when they come of age, they begin to wander from the church. Does any of this sound familiar? We do indeed have many of the students that have been instructed in catechism, but not all of them are here. Where are they now? We live in a midst of a world that believes that truth is relative. People say nonsensical things like, what's true for me is not necessarily true for you. And there's an even more insidious form of that phrase that Christians today say all too often. All Christians believe the same thing, so it doesn't really matter where you go to church, just as long as you go. But when we abandon solid Christian teaching in favor of what makes us feel good or seems fun at the time, we act as if Christ's teachings are not really that important. Jesus says to us in John's Gospel, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when we have doctrinal indifference, that means that there is no true zeal for mission work. We have to know what we confess, or we will simply not confess it. St. Peter writes in our epistle reading for today, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Preachers are called to preach, but Christians are called to confess. Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. We confess that which we know. In the Formula of Concord, the last of our Lutheran confessions written about the year 1577, each article begins with these words: we believe, teach, and confess. These are all the same thing. We believe what we teach, and we teach what we believe. The church confesses what she believes. The preacher preaches what the Christian church confesses. And if we don't know what we're confessing, how can we know if our preachers are preaching what they should be preaching? And if we don't know that, how can we know what to confess when someone asks us about Christ and his word and the hope that we have in him? But in our day, doctrine is a bit of a dirty word. It is said, we don't get people to church by boring them with doctrine. No, if we're going fishing, we need to know how to bait the hook and get the fish to bite. So church growth entrepreneurs get rich by selling how-to gimmicks to churches in order to draw live bodies into congregations. Then, once they are inside, and only then can we teach them something, they say. But we won't call an adult instruction class an adult instruction class. We'll call it an adult information class, because information is not all that threatening. Doctrine can stay in its corner where it can't accidentally sneak out and hurt anybody. And so Christian doctrine tends to get confined to its ghetto, where it can't come out and threaten anyone. People defend the use of bait to lure people into the church doors by the fact that Jesus used this analogy today of being fishers of men. But Peter, James, and John didn't bait hooks. In fact, they didn't use bait or hooks at all. What did they use? They used a net. The bait and switch tactics of unscrupulous business is unworthy of Christ's church. What are we ashamed of? The mission of the church is not to lure people in under some kind of pretext and then sneak in our teaching underneath when they're not looking. We lead with the thing that is the most important, the one thing needful, the teaching of Jesus Christ. We keep no secrets that we only give to you after you've been initiated, but we teach everything that Christ taught us to teach, for he alone has the words of eternal life. As St. Paul says, we preach Christ and him crucified. Why lead with this? Why lead with the crucifixion of Jesus? It is because our teaching is a teaching of peace. Jesus says in our gospel reading for today to a fearful Peter, "Do not be afraid." So the angel said to the shepherds at Christ's birth, so said the angel to the women at the tomb after Jesus rose again from the dead, so said Jesus when Peter reacted in fear to the miraculous catch of fish, a miracle that proved that Christ was God in the flesh. Do not be afraid, he says, for God is here. He is present, and his presence does not evoke fear. He is not here to punish us, for he is here to forgive. The natural fear that people have of God is rooted in our own sin, for it is the fear of death. It is the fear of the unknown. It is the fear that we will be punished for our thoughts, words, and deeds. We don't know what to do with our sin apart from Christ, and we can hardly deny our fear. So the church must, above all, be honest in her proclamation. If we do not understand the fear, we will not have the peace that Jesus seeks to give. And so the mission of the church is to teach God's law and his gospel. The law reveals our sin not merely in appropriate behavior, because the gospel is there given in order to give the forgiveness of sins to real sinners. It brings real sinners the comfort of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for them by his holy life and his sacrificial death. We know people, all of us, know people who don't know Christ. They live without the forgiveness of sins. They may try to avoid confronting their own sin, and they may even call it by any other name, but they certainly cannot escape its consequences. What these people need, what our friends and loved ones who do not know Jesus, what they need is a Savior from sin. And Jesus is their Savior as much as he is your Savior. Without faith in Christ, they can have no true hope and peace in this life. And so, as St. Peter and our Lord say today, give them a reason for the hope that is within you. Confess your faith. Invite them here on a Sunday morning where the gospel of their salvation is proclaimed. Here is the Lord Jesus who says to us, "Do not be afraid." And he is the one who takes away all of our fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.